verse of it. We covered the last verse in 1 Corinthians 13 with the last verse in that chapter, verse 13, last Sunday. Now I'm just going to start right from the very beginning of it. Love is not brassy. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now when he is using the expression here, tongues of men, he said, when I speak in the languages, glossema is the word that's used for it, for tongues. When I speak in the languages of men, and he said, even when angels have spoken to me and I've communicated with angels, he said, if I had the ability to speak in all the languages, all the different tongues of men, and had the ability to communicate with angels, he said, with all that great spiritual ability, with that wonderful gift from God, he said, if I don't have charity, he said, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth. And in Corinth, in the Greek culture, as well as in the Roman culture, all over the churches in Turkey, Ephesus being one of them, Corinth being a church, what we know as Greece today, they put a great value on the ability of men to articulate. Specificity. Man, they could handle specificity without any problem. And they were very eloquent in their speech. And they were bold. And their voices would echo off the walls. They were dynamic. They were full of force. They put tremendous value on that. And their voices were like bells made of brass that would sound. Or great cymbals that, boom, you'd roar together. Like Barney Fife used to do in that band that they had on the Andy Griffith Show. Boom! And all that's fine. And it lifted people up. I get lifted up every time I hear the Star Spangled Banner and all the musical accompaniments to it. And the more brass they have in the orchestra, the more cymbals they have crashing at just the right time. It adds to the effect. And it really, the more cymbals you have, the more brass you have in the orchestra that's playing the Star Spangled Banner, it builds you up higher and higher and higher. But after all the sounding brass that vibrates through the air has disappeared, and all the cymbals vibrations have gone, all you've got left are the words of the song. And it's the words of the song that move the human soul. It's the words of the song that move the human soul. That's true with the Word of God. It's the Word of God that moves the human soul. It's not all the accompaniments you have with it, and all the eloquence of the speakers that present it, and all the different accompaniments you add to it, to build people up to a new height of emotion. That's basically what the Assembly of God does. They use their sounds and their force and their dynamics to build people up to a high level. But after all the sounds, the dynamics are gone and the walls aren't vibrating anymore, all you've got left is the Word of God. And if they don't present the Word of God correctly, you might as well not have all that. So love is not brassy. It's a very wonderful thing. And it's not sensational. 1 Thessalonians 4:9-12. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Have you ever in your entire life, I'm talking to people that are children of God, saved, born again men and women, Has there ever been a time in your life that you thought you really loved people as much as you should? Have you ever thought that you love people as much as God loves them? I've stayed on a guilt trip through my entire saved life of 60 years. On a guilt trip because I know I don't love people like I should. But if you ever get up to the point where you say, I finally made it, then you're a whole lot worse off than feeling guilty because you've seared over your own conscience with a hot iron. God means for us to feel guilty. God means for us to always be striving to learn to love more like Him and less like our love that we've developed in the flesh. It's easy to love a good wife that's kind to you, that puts up with you. It's easy to love a husband that's kind to you and puts up with you. It's easy to love people that love you. But God's love is for people that don't love Him, that don't do what He says, that don't respond to His Spirit. And I don't have to stand up here and tell you you ought to love the brothers and sisters in Christ. God's Spirit tells you that. And His Word is very clear. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. He said, I'm not writing this to you because you don't love the brethren. He said, you love them in all Macedonia. And we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. That's the thing about this kind of love that God has. You never honestly get to the point where you believe that you love others as much as God meant for you to love them. And so there's always a constant striving inside you and a feeling of guilt because you don't. And it's the effort, the willingness to try to love people more that God honors and God blesses, because He knows all of your inability and He knows all of your aptitudes. He knows your environment. He knows your physiological and psychological makeup. He understands everything there is to understand about you. All He asks is, keep on making the effort. And that you study to be quiet. Well, I think that's something that I admire in a Christian more than anything else. Somebody that's just quiet, tries to do what God wants, studies His Word, tries to interpret it, and is just quiet in what he does. Doesn't mean he doesn't talk, or she doesn't talk, or they're not outspoken. Doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean sometimes they're not forward. It means they make an effort to study God's Word and to be quiet and to live a quiet and peaceful life. But that isn't what goes on in evangelical work today. It's a veritable beehive. And I realize you can't just sit around and never say anything about Jesus. But the more you learn about Him, the more apt you are to witness like He wants and to conduct yourself like He wants and do your own business. Now that is very important. In this church, I would say the greatest problem I have had is to find a balance between what God called me to do here, to pastor this church, and to keep my nose out of other people's business. I don't spend a lot of time visiting, sticking my nose in your business. I keep my nose out of it. I've tried to do that ever since I came here. And when I came here many years ago, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I'm getting too old and cantankerous. I really think it's important that you understand this principle, and I believe you do. We had a lady in this church that used to come to me with all kinds of stories. And she would tell me about how so-and-so was having an affair with this They were sleeping together. They were doing this. And tell me I needed to do something about it. Well, I was young in the ministry. I didn't have a lot of experience. So I would go and I would check it out. Not thinking the world to it. And then, about a month or so later, maybe 3 months, she'd come to me again. And somebody else in the church was sleeping with somebody else. And so I'd tactfully go and check it out. And I believe she did that about 3 times. Wasn't a thing in the world to it. Anyway, I'm not a bulldog. I'm not a detective. I don't stick my nose in anybody's life unless somebody just forces me to do it. So when she came to me on the 4th time, I did something you may not particularly appreciate, but it did solve the problem. She didn't love people. She imputed love to them based on a bad opinion of them in the first place. She didn't love people. That's one of the definitions of this word. It's not the kind of love that imputes evil to people just because you think they're evil. So on the 4th time she came to me, I think it was the 4th, this lady came and gave me this story about these two young man and woman belonged to this church. And they were living together in this particular house. She said, "Brother McElmurray, you need to do something about that." I said, "Now here's the part you may not like." I said, "You're absolutely right, Sister Blank." I said, "We do need to do something about this." I said, "Come on." I said, "Let's get out here and come on, get in the car with me. And we'll go down there and we'll straighten this mess out." And I said, you can tell them right to their face. And I said, "We'll take care of this problem right now." She said, "Well, Brother McElmurray," she said, "you know," she said, "I was told that." I said, "Well, you didn't tell me that." I said, "I got the impression that you saw all this." "No," she said, "I was told by it." I said, "Well, that doesn't matter." I said, "Let's just go down there and face them." She said, "Oh, I can't do that, Brother McElmurray." I said, "Well, why can't you do that?" She said, "Oh," she said, "that would be too embarrassing." I said, "Well, you want me to go down there and embarrass them?" "Well, it needs to be taken care of." I said, "You're right. Let's go." I said, "Come on, come on." And I opened the door. She said, "No, I'm not going to do that." You know what? She never came to me again. She never came to me again because they weren't doing anything. Some people just naturally think evil of another person when they really don't understand what's going on. So when it says mind your own business, that's what everybody in the local church ought to do. Mind your own business. See to your own business. Don't stick your nose in everybody else's. Don't go around looking for evil when there's no evil there. And make sure it is evil. And you may not even notice it and discover it. You say, "Well, God called me to be a personal bulldog and a detective to root out all the evil in the church." No, His Holy Spirit will do that quite well. And you may rest assured that such things do eventually come around, and you don't have to be the church detective. So we need to mind our own business and to work with your own hands. Now, God means for you to work. As long as you're physically able and you're a member of one of His churches, He means for you to work with your own hands. If you're capable of work, do it. Don't be a sponge to live off the government or to live off the church unless you're physically incapacitated. He said, work with your own hands. Provide an honest living. What do people say about somebody that is a sponge, won't work, shiftless? Everybody in town knows it. Professional welfare applicants. Oh, welfare's fine. It's great if you're entitled to it. Wonderful. That's great if you're entitled to it. But there are some sponges that just wander from church to church, able to work, and they won't work because they're downright lazy. You say, well, what in the world has that got to do with loving people? If you love people, you'll try to be quiet. Try to keep your mouth shut, lest it has some effect. Lest it's something God's directed that you know you need to say. And to do your own business. Mind your own business. To work and make an honest living and let the people see where you work that you are an honest person. And you are willing to work. And you do recognize the need to support your family. You say, I thought you were going to talk about love. I am. That's what a person that loves does. And that person loves God. And that person is a good testimony in the community. As we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. You say, well, I have faith. I'll just ask God. And God will provide everything. I don't have to do any work. You just don't have enough faith in God. If you had enough faith in God, you wouldn't have to work or do anything. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Let me tell you, the definition of love in the Bible, it's not a fuzzy teddy bear that you squeeze. It's not a little warm, cuddly puppy that you hold up in your arms and love. Oh, don't misunderstand me. I love little fuzzy things, and I love little puppy dogs, and I love kitty cats, and I love lots of things. But the kind of love that God has is a kind of love that manifests itself in a church member that tries to be quiet, raise their children the admonition of the Lord, mind their own business, work with their own hands to learn an honest living. And the reason you're supposed to do that is that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, that aren't church men, that you may have lack of nothing. If people in the community see a group of people who are honest, who mind their own business, they're quiet, they aren't always brassy and raising a ruckus, causing a problem, they work with their own hands, support their family, and they're honest. They don't cheat people. That's love. And people will look at them and say, they're different. Why are we different? Because we love God. Now, the message I preached last week was primarily concentrated on never putting any of these things above God. You're not. If you do them because that's what God said to do, and because you want people in the community to see that you are an upstanding, honest person who's trying to serve God and be honest and fulfill your part in the workforce in the community. That's the love of God. People who won't work and just hang on to a church so they can use it as a crutch, they may well be saved, but they're not benefiting God, and they're not benefiting the church. An exposition of 1 Corinthians 13, part 2. Allow me to repeat the last portion of part 1, the exposition of the 13 verses of 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The love of God is not loud or brassy. It is the word of his Son living in us that manifests the soul subdued by the love of his word. Until God subdues your soul after you're saved to learn to love him more than anything else in your life and to do the things you do in life that God himself requires, to please God so that your testimony in the community may be used of God to convict others of your honesty, of your straightforwardness, of your willing to work, not as a useless part of the community, but somebody that stands up for what's right. This process of submission is outlined by Paul in his first epistle to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:13. This church is not based on brass. It's not based on brassy sayings. It's not based on dynamics. It's based on some very sensible principles, based on the Word of God. You want to know how to love? Here's what he told Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:13, the Apostle Paul. He said, till I come, till I get there, Timothy, give attention to reading. Reading what? The Word of God. To exhortation. Exhortation from what? The Word of God. And to exhort others to read it, to study it, to apply it. To doctrine, didaskalos, to teach it. He said, Timothy, here's what I want you to do. This involves the love of God. If you love God, you'll read His Word. You'll give attendance to it. And this is really talking about where they stood up and read the letters from the apostles like this one. And they were in attendance. And they gave attention to it. Then they exhorted others to hear it and to follow its teaching. That's love. If you want to hear the Word of God, if you'll study the Word of God, if you'll exhort others to do so, and you're willing to teach them what you've learned from the Word of God and to be taught yourself, that's love. Because you're learning about God, and you're learning about His Son, and you're learning about what He wants. And His love is for the whole world. And He wants you to shine in it. He wants people to look at you and see that you're real, that you're genuine. You're not a phony baloney. A lot of preachers are phony baloney. They're all surface gloss. They shine and they're bright and they're great orators and everything else. Wonderful bedside manner. Charming people. But as phony as a $3 bill. All surface. Whitened sepulchers. 1 Timothy 2:15. The love of God is not loud or brassy. It is the Word of His Son living in us that manifests the soul subdued by the love of His Word. I need to be subdued by the love of His Word, and so do every one of you. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right dividing the Word of truth. That's my calling. That's why God led me back to the seminary in Little Rock. That's why I spend so much time studying the Word. That's my calling. That's the way I show I love people. That's the way I show I love God. I study His Word to show myself approved, that God approves of what I'm preaching. And I'm not ashamed because I try to rightly divide the Word of truth. But that ought to be true of all of us. Not just Timothy, not just Paul, not just pastors, but every one of us. 2 Timothy 3:15. And this is so important because it manifests the love of God. And if a church isn't based on the Word of God, it'll never find the love of God. But a church that's based on the Word of God that doesn't apply what the Word of God says after it's learned it, what good is it? He says, these things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Paul told Timothy, he said, I'll be there soon. But he said, till I get there, he said, I want to write these things unto you because they're important. So I'm writing them ahead of time to you. These things write unto thee. He said, now I may not get there right away. He says, but if I tarry long, he said, I may not be there for a while. But he says, these things write unto thee, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I have fought for 30 years here against bringing things into this church that are brassy and loud and stir up human emotion, because I believe God means for His church to be made up of people that are quiet, mind their own business, are honest, work and earn an honest living, that when people in the community see them, they see somebody they respect because they're honest and they're hard working. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Yes, I joke a lot. Yes, I say little clever things. Yes, I probably go too far sometimes. And I'm acutely aware of that. But the house of God is supposed to be a place where we come together. We worship God. We know God saved us. We know He led us to the truth. We know we've submitted and we've been scripturally baptized. And we know we ought to serve Him. It ought to be a place where we come and behave ourselves in such a manner that we control our tempers, that we don't lose ourselves in backbiting and being critical of one another, minding our own business, loving God and loving one another. Because it's the pillar and ground of the truth. That's why it's so important to give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. In some of our churches, they've quit preaching the word. They've turned into entertainment centers. And the preacher gives a little short ditty, and he may be a very eloquent speaker, but the congregation doesn't get a blinking thing out of it. All they get are their ears tickled. Paul indicated that there was a certain way we ought to behave in the house of God, because it was the pillar and ground of the truth. He indicated there was a certain way we're supposed to carry that out in the community. And that's what evangelism is. That's what it's always been. If your life doesn't back up your testimony when you go out there before people, how in heaven's name do you expect them to believe you? You say, well, the Holy Spirit of God will take care of that. The Holy Spirit of God means to take care of your heart and your life and my heart and my life. And He means to make us into what He wants us to be, so when we go out there, we won't look like blatant phonies. Ephesians 3:21. You can't get around this scripture. If I love God, this is where I'm going to give Him glory. I make no apologies for this. And I don't want to irritate you. But that's where God said glory was. And it's the local church. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You need to honor the Lord's church. You need to honor it with your attendance, with your prayers, with your giving, and with your service, because this is where we give glory to God. This is where we love God. We're supposed to love Him in the community. We're supposed to love Him at night at home. We're supposed to love Him all the time. But when we come together here, it's supposed to be in unity. They're not supposed to be in divisions. We're supposed to confess our faults one to another, admitting we're sinners saved by grace, and we're supposed to manifest the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not charity, agape, love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Maybe I'll finish the rest of this tonight. It's 1 minute till 12. By my watch, I'm a little slow. And I'm tired. I've got this upper respiratory infection. I don't feel too good. So I think I've said enough for this morning. How about your life and my life? Are you giving glory to God in His church? Are you determined that the Lord is the most important thing in your life? If He's the most important thing in your life, you ought to be giving glory to Him in His local church. If you don't know the Lord, I've got some wonderful news for you. He's known you from the beginning of creation. He's loved you. He was there when you were formed in your mother's womb. He was there when you uttered your first cry after you came out. He was there with you through all your cuts and scrapes and bruises of youth, all your disappointments. He's been with you all your life. He wants you to come to Him. But you have to come to him to be saved. And you're the only one who can come to him. You have to trust him to save you when you come to him. Whatever the case may be this morning, God's Spirit's dealing with you. Why not just give in and let him have his way this morning? As the song leader